Welcome to the Williams Neekin Why Be Hurtin' phone conference line.
And I made a protein breakfast. I made salmon cakes with tabbouleh, you know, shredded salmon, you know, leftovers and spices and onions and whatever. And then people make tabbouleh. Well, I mixed them all in together, and I made like a little hamburger sort of thing.
Sounds good. I know I knew a German family once, and not long after I got out of the military, and when I had a conversation with them, she gets up every morning and fixes what we would consider a dinner. You know, she cooks up the meat and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And then for lunch, they have a medium-sized lunch, you know, and for dinner, they just have lunch. They had a kind of like a soup and a sandwich, and that was
really healthy. Really healthy.
It turned the opposite of what we, and she couldn't understand why we eat the way we do here. And I said, well, I can't really answer your question because that's kind of the way I was raised with, lunch and dinner, and they just reverse it. They have dinner and lunch and breakfast.
Well, I thought of you, Monty, when I thought, you know, an egg. If Monty were eating this, he would eat an egg with it. Then he'd really get all of this protein.
And actually, did you say they were from Germany?
Yes.
They got it. Of course, we all know they had it the right way because that is the way we should be eating. And my doctor says for breakfast we should eat like a king, for lunch like a queen, and for dinner like a pauper.
Well, it makes sense. It kind of makes sense to me now, you know. And the less you have on your stomach before you go to bed, the better off you supposedly are, and the body can really go in more into a semi-fasting mode and do what it needs to do, so the big load isn't working as hard.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Nancy, go ahead. Once Nancy's here with us on the call, go ahead and take off with what you have to say today, and we'll open up our minds and our ears and listen to what you have to say. Nancy?
Okay. Joan, do you want to talk a little more about the probiotics since you missed that yesterday?
No. It's just that what I talked about was how to feed the good bacteria that you could actually eat, that you could take. You know, so I just did half the picture.
Okay.
Anyway.
And, I was originally going to talk on the acrylamide, and I'll touch on it briefly, but I ran out of time last night, rather, to do more checking on, more research, I guess I should say, on these companies who may have kind of cleaned up their menu a little, but this is acrylamide. Back in 2002 is when I first heard of it through a nutritionist, but they this happens when we deep fry or any kind of high temperatures of frying or baking of potatoes, like for French fries and it's surprising, but Pringles is very high in this, and really wouldn't think about Pringles being a part of that. And also just a number of things, but it happens with this, when the oil, the deep frying up with high temperatures, it forms this acrylamide, and that is not good for our bodies. But I'm going to do more research because Burger King and McDonald's were both very high in that. But, of course, that was 2002, so I need to do some more research to see if they've been able to control some of that. But and it's also in, potatoes. Anyway, but what I'm going to touch on today is more about celiac, and, of course, you can also call it the gluten sensitivity. So this doctor from Dallas, he talked about that yesterday on his program, and he says if one member of the family has celiac, either a brother, sister, mother, or father, you can have, I mean, you have 1 in 4 chances of also having it or having the celiac propensity. Just because you have it doesn't mean you will have it. Something has to trigger it. He did not go into detail on that, and I do need to check on what happens in our life to actually trigger it. And it can be very mild, actually just showing we can have the slightest symptoms, such as just a little bit of fatigue or weight, just a little bit of weight loss, or on the opposite end, we can have it so severe that you can't hold any food in your intestinal tract. Everything is, you know, going right through you with IBS. But he said also you will lose weight, but your belly swells, it protrudes from the bloating due to the malabsorption syndrome. And the small bowel overgrowth of bacteria. It is considered as an autoimmune disease. The onset may occur at 6 months, as early as 6 months when we were given oatmeal to eat, because this is actually in barley, rye, wheat, barley, and rye, but also in oats. And even some doctors believe we should eat rice alone, that is also a contributor. So the onset of this can be as early as 6 months, but it can also happen well into our later years, even as old as 80 years of age. Only 4% of those with genetic susceptibility develop celiac, even though susceptibility is primarily genetic. Then he gives a little quiz to find out if we are in these categories, whether it be the slight, just having a little bit of the genetic susceptibility, or if it's a full-blown celiac case. And he says, though, if you'll give yourself 1 point for each of these, he says if you are a direct relative, being the either brother, sister, mother, or father, if they have celiac, then you give yourself a point. As a child, did you or your family have stunted growth, delayed puberty, multiple cavity, poor coordination, or epilepsy, allergic dermatitis, which is skin rashes, autoimmune condition, dermatitis cataformis, which is, he says it will look like herpes. Now, he says if you have that, you should give yourself 4 points, because with that, that is a definite sign that you have this gene. And okay, another is lupus, MS, psoriasis, rheumatoid arthritis, Sjögren's disease, thyroid disease, and type 1 diabetes, vitiligo, and chronic diarrhea, high liver enzymes, anemia. Also, you will show deficiencies in your vitamin A, D, E, and K. And if you have restless leg syndrome and clots in the veins, in any of your veins, and canker sores in the mouth. He said this is classic. Also autism and schizophrenia, nerve problems, whether it be neurotinus, in your extremities, osteoporosis or osteopenia, and cataracts, and abnormal hair, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So that's a long list, and I'm sure that if I went to the actual website of the celiac, that I could probably find even more listings of categories. But he says if you have four or more of these, then we need to be changing our diet, getting the foods out that cause these sensitivities, which are the grains. And I'm almost under the impression that we have to get rid of almost all grains. But at this point, does anyone have anything to add to this, or maybe have experienced some of this?
Well, I just had one question myself, Nancy. Is there did he recommend any kind, is this a type of a situation, this gluten sensitivity and celiac disease, that they can find in a blood test?
They can, but it depends. They said sometimes that is not all that accurate, but there is, and he mentioned what to ask for. It's a certain test, and I'm not sure where I wrote that. But first of all, I mean, he's always talked about these other categories where you get them to run the, they call it like a celiac panel, but it involves these different, and I'm losing my word for it. It's where you're checking for allergic reactions in the body. But then yesterday he gave this other one that he said that would be a very good one to ask your doctor to run. So, but next week I can go into it more because there is just so much information on this, whereas many years ago you didn't find that much. And doctors they said it takes on the average of 11 years before a patient is diagnosed with this because doctors are just not that familiar. And also we need to avoid even kamut, K-A-N-U-T, kamut grass, and
yeah, Nancy, I would imagine when it's severe, all your food goes through you. So that means you're not absorbing,
right,
the nutrients. So if you think of the plethora of diseases or disease conditions, chronic conditions that can occur if you don't absorb your C and D and enzymes very well. And I would think if that's the case, some early signs might be finding mucus in the stool, okay, in the toilet.
Oh.
Okay, because that's your body's attempt to protect the lining of your intestine. So there's some sort of, turf war going on, bad bacteria, turf war, or some sort of thing going on when you have mucus. You know, that's your body's attempt to protect itself.
Mm-hmm. And our GI tract makes vitamin K, so when you've got this going on, then it will show that, You know, we have not enough of that to help with our bones, keeping our bones strong, helping the D3 work, and so it's kind of a chain reaction. Gluten also causes schizophrenia and autism, and and he said 85% of arthritic patients have an overgrowth of this in our intestines.
Overgrowth of bacteria, of the bad bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, but, well, the C. celiac has a profound, it causes a profound dysbiosis in the GI tract, so that's where he said 85% of arthritis is due to that.
Yeah, all those things that are inflammation, all those things, I mean, just malabsorption, I mean, that's the root of, you know, the deep, dark woods that you don't want to go into. Malabsorption, malnutrition, you know, because your body needs that stuff that's going right through you.
So, when I can search PubMed.gov, I'll come up with other things, and I can share that another time. He says that getting, you know, all of our vitamins, like the ones here that have caused this to be destroyed, especially if we're anemic, that we need the B vitamins, but keeping all of that up helps to alleviate some of these symptoms. Also, here's the test that he talked about. He called it aminase, not milk. I guess it's aminase antibody test, or anti. See, I need to look that one up. So I'll bring that to you another time. But
Nancy, you might remember one of the principal enzymes is amylase, a digestive enzyme.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's probably maybe a key in the malabsorption. So that means you might digest proteins and fats, but no carbs. You're not digesting carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
If you have I don't know. I just, that's amylase. Anything that ends in an ace, that's an enzyme.
Right. Those digestive enzymes. But he also talks about the brain. It attaches to the brain. These show up as white spots on an MRI, the gluten in the brain. And he says it attaches and will not let go. So, and malt has gluten, but he says maltodextrin and dextrin in the U.S. does not. And I do know that our protein powder has maltodextrin in it. Hydrolyzed yeast also has the gluten. So the websites to go to are celiac.com, and then another one is glutenfree.com. And we should, if we have this condition, we should make sure we're on a very good multivitamin, omega-3, probiotic, and oregano for the yeast, because this is all linked in with the yeast problem, royal jelly, digestive enzyme. So anyway, they talk about how many people have it who really don't realize it, like 97% of the population has this, but they're totally unaware, because most doctors are not even knowledgeable enough on the side effects. and the symptoms to be able to direct the patient. And, of course, now as I look back, I've had it for some number of years, but I didn't know about it until just recently.
Well, you know, Nancy, one of the things I've noticed in packaging in grocery stores and whatever, you know, it's almost now that's almost everything, a sign you see on everything is no gluten. So, in other words, like it's, if you know what I mean by no gluten, like it has no MSG or blah, blah, blah. But it's now becoming a marketing tool in regards to people that purchase stuff out of the grocery store and packaged goods and that sort of stuff. Plus, also, I've noticed there's been a large increase of mom-and-pop type stores popping up that are basically, you know, they go gluten-free, so that a lot of people do go to those type of stores to buy products that basically the store just emphasizes gluten-free type products. So it's really becoming, I think, I don't want to say a fad marketing, but it's becoming something that is, the people are becoming more aware of.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you mentioned a nice little store there, a small store that carries a lot of that in your area. So,
yep.
But another thing he mentioned is that we have to be, and I've heard this through a number of doctors who've really studied this, we need to be aware just because on the label it says gluten-free, it's not necessarily so, because this, like you say, it is a good marketing tool, so a lot
yep.
of them will put that on there, and yet they have other things in there that causes it not to be gluten-free. So, but I think, there again, I know I've heard of some websites where you can check out different foods to find out if, different brands to find out if they're true to their gluten-free label.
Do we know what gluten is?
It's from the wheat. It's from the grains. It is a part of the grains, and it's been a while since I've looked that up. I'll have to do another little talk on this when I've got all my notes in front of me, but it is something in these grains that it causes this. So if we just mainly did without, for so many years they were just saying do without the major three, the wheat, the barley, and the rye. Since then, they've learned about the oatmeal and even the rice, so it's not too good to be in this. I mean, it makes it very hard to select your food items to keep that out of your diet. But he gave an example of a 72-year-old man who lost weight, and that was his only symptom, and he ended up having celiac. So, you know, it's not that we get all of these symptoms at one time. It can be just something as simple as losing weight without a good reason for it. So, anyway, and then, of course, when you get into the gluten-free recipes, there are a number of avenues to go down for that, because so many people now are publishing their cookbooks for this purpose. So, and even online, you can find a gluten-free way of eating. So, anyway, anyone else have anything else to offer? But I was particularly interested in this schizophrenia and autism. And they said that if you have an elderly person or family member who ends up in, you know, with that diagnosis of schizophrenia, he says to get them on this diet and watch how things can be turned around. I don't know if it's an actual definite cure for it, but he says you will definitely see some difference. And then with all of our children with autism, that's very interesting.
Yeah, I am interested in that area, Gerson doesn't talk much about it, and I actually need to talk with her, Charlotte, but I have heard her say that people that have experienced schizophrenia have, in fact, gotten free of it through, you know, flooding with nutrition. And, of course, if you're really flooding yourself with nutrition, nutrients, non-toxic nutrients, that's going to help with that malabsorption problem. But how that mechanism works, I would, of course, be interested to know.
Mm-hmm. And if any of you would like to email me, I can send you a website of a, he's a chiropractor and a nutritionist here in the Houston area, and his practice is really strong in the area because he's found so many patients who have that, and there are videos on there with people giving their testimony, and most of them have suffered for years with the malabsorption and the stomach problems where they end up in pain so severe that they can even go to the ER with it. So, anyway, that's, but it's interesting, and the spikes, but actually, he says once it's in your gene, in your genes, you will not be able to get rid of it, but you can manage it by these simple things, and there is no drug, there's nothing else they can do for it other than eliminating these things from the diet.
Yeah, Nancy, when you say it's a when you say 1 in 4 get it, that's the stamp mark of a recessive gene. So that means that over time, every person on the earth is going to have this, because over time, you know, people will intermarry, right? And everybody will be a carrier. Everybody will be a carrier. Like, it's like blue eyes, you know. They're recessive. You don't get them unless you get two, you know, it works out that way. So,
He's saying that he made that statement after saying if one family member, your immediate family, has this, then you have a 1 in 4 chance of also getting it.
Right, because if a brother and sister have, if a brother or sister have it, that means both your parents were carriers. Both of them were carriers. Mm-hmm. And that means that you could also have that same gene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they say sometimes, and I'm trying to, I can't think of the disease right now, but if you're, sometimes you, there's a disease out there, and I can't think what it's called, but if you are, if you carry the gene and you marry a spouse or...
Huntington's chorea, you're probably thinking of. It kills you.
Right, that makes the, that your child or has the very, if you mate, then of course your child has a great, more a possibility of coming down with that disease.
Right, and the sad thing about that is it's not until you're 30 or 40, like, you know, probably has a child, that you even know you have the disease.
Right.
Joan, would you repeat the name of that? Huntington's what?
Huntington's chorea, with a C. And it wastes, totally wastes the body and the brain. It doesn't touch the brain. So, I mean, it's a really hard, sad death. It's really sad.
Well, anyone else have anything to add to this?
Well, it's been a great call. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank
in regards
you.
To more information for us to understand what kind of going on and possibly what's going on in our own bodies, to be aware of certain things. So I'd just like to thank you and Joan for your input. And for those of you on the call, you always remember that you can always go to allswell.org anytime you'd like to and re-listen to the call or calls that you've missed, or would like to just go back and rehash that particular call. Steve does that for us, and we certainly appreciate that.
Yes. And Steve, thank you for adding the topics. Kiss, kiss.
Yeah.
Also, I did forget, I should add this, that when we want to test ourselves for this, all it takes is 2 weeks of getting gluten out of our diet. And if you see a big difference in the way you feel, if it eliminates headaches or any of these things that we've mentioned, that will be your answer that you either have that propensity or, you know, just a slight touch of this, or in case it might be full-blown. As with my brother, he would eat oatmeal every morning for breakfast, and he felt bad after he would eat. And the doctors couldn't figure it out for years. So, right. So it's something so simple to where we just eliminate it from our diet, and that will give us our answer. But it takes about 2 weeks of doing that. And then after, it takes that length of time for you to kind of regain your energy. And I noticed that's what I did. I watched the calendar, and I just had a little more energy each day. And for 2 weeks later, I felt much better. But it is very hard to stay on this, especially when you eat out and you really don't know what is in the food.
And you know, if it's a situation with a bacteria war in your intestines, that 2 weeks is about how long it takes to change the flora, you know, enough to notice a difference.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It very much. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we'll hear from Monty tomorrow.
Yeah, what are we going to hear about, Monty?
Well, I've got two subjects that I know I'm going to talk about for sure, and I thought what I might do tomorrow, and that's talk instead of just talking about one thing, just kind of maybe quickly hit on a few subjects. One of them might be, do you know what you're eating at the restaurants that you go to?
No.
One of the other ones might be that your body's tolerance to toxicity and how that basically happens, and that kind of might move into a little bit about what we're talking about celiac disease, too, and that. And some of the things you mentioned, too, in regards to sometimes it takes a little longer for toxicity to show up based to tolerances in our body. So those are a few of the subjects that I'll talk about tomorrow. Let's kind of go over a quick review of what we discussed this last week, and then we'll go from there. Okay?
Okay.
Okie doke. We'll see you all tomorrow, and have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.